Hi, I'm Vernon Trollinger for Optometry Times, and this is 10 questions for Loretta Justin, OD, owner of the Millennium Eye Center in Orlando, Florida.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey, Orange, New Jersey. Uh-uh. I'm a Jersey girl.
What did your parents do?
My dad was a construction worker. My mom was, I believe they call that a nurse's assistant, a CNA. She used to work in a nursing home. And they work really hard so they can make sure we get an opportunity to go to school, because we are not originally from here. We are originally from Haiti. And working very hard was very important to my parents to give us this opportunity.
When did they come to the States?
My mom and dad came to the States in the early 80s, 1982. They came before us, the rest of the kids.
Now, you said that you married your high school sweetheart, so...
Yes.
How did that happen? I mean, obviously you met in high school, so how did it come about that you stuck together?
Well, my husband at the time, a friend of mine introduced me to him, and she thought we would really hit it off together, and I really did not like him very much at all. I was not interested one bit. But he was very persistent and just would not leave me alone. So until one day we finally did go on a date. And when we met, I was just so comfortable with him, and I felt like I could share anything with him. I thought that was really interesting. He was just so warm and just really a very loving person. So I felt really comfortable around that. And one date led to another, and one day, we got married. But it was the best decision I've ever made.
Now, you got your doctorate of optometry in 2001. Why go into private practice versus academia or industry?
In private practice, it gives me a sense of autonomy. I've always been very independent, and I've always liked to create my own future or whatever it is that I want. And private practice offered that to me, the ability to make my own schedule, the ability to dictate where my life goes, where my career goes, and that was entirely up to me. It's very scary, but it is something that I wanted, and that's the reason why after 2 years, I believe in 3 years, in 2004, I graduated in 2002, and then 2006, in 2006, is when we started the practice. So that it has been one very interesting journey.
Now, your husband, James, is also part of your practice. What are the ups and downs of working in a practice with your spouse?
With James and I, sometimes the challenge is the differences in opinion and philosophy and how something should be done. And we've agreed that we would all focus on our points, on our strength, what we're good at. Some of the things I'm not good at, like IT and you know, technology per se, he understands that more than I do. So I don't really argue whether I understand or not what's happening. So I think we respect our limits and know what we're good at, what we're not, and allow the other person who has that strength to make that decision whether we agree or not. So that's how we make it work.
You're a singer. On occasion.
I am.
So how did your Christmas album happen? I listened to a couple clips of it from the CD Baby website. And it's pretty dang good.
Thank you. I was having coffee in my back porch, and I was just listening to the pool, and I just started humming a song, and it came into my head. And as I was singing it, I thought about all the beauty around me and all the things that have been created and how I get to enjoy this beauty and this creation because someone put it there. And then the thought came about my voice. Why don't you record your voice and give other people the opportunity to experience that? It's a gift that you have, just like the tree, just like the birds. It's another way people can experience beauty in life. And so that's what inspired me to actually do the Christmas album, since Christmas is my favorite holiday. So I have a friend who is a producer. He lives in New Jersey. I called them up the same day. I said, listen, I have an idea. I want to make an album. He said, okay. And I said, I have to do it by, it was May. I said, I have to do it by October. He said, are you serious? I said, yeah. And he decided to come down to Orlando and stayed with us for a whole week. And we did the whole project in 1 week. Well, we had to find a studio. We had to, you know, and I did all the background vocals and the CD. So it makes it easy with now with technology. One person can do a whole album.
Cool. What's something else your colleagues don't know about you?
Something my colleagues don't know about me, other than the fact that I like to sing. I love to read. I am very goofy. I'm not a very serious person at all. I have three boys, and they always say I'm the youngest child in the house. It's pretty silly. We have pun wars in my house, and come on, sometimes the dumbest puns, but...
Well, they all wind up eventually leading to cows and cheese and milk or something like that.
But it makes us laugh, and it keeps, you know, the joy in the household. So I would say that I'm extremely childish. I appear serious, but I'm really not.
Now, you recently completed your term on the Women in Optometry Board.
Yes, I did.
Why is it important for women to be engaged in leadership?
Because other women need to see that. It inspires other women when they see a woman in leadership. It makes them realize, I can do that too. It makes them realize that what I have to offer is also important. So by doing it yourself, just the fact of doing it, just the act of doing it will inspire somebody else to believe in themselves and what they have to offer. I think fundamentally, that's the reason women should be involved in leadership, is to inspire other little girls that they can do it too.
What is Optometry Divas?
Optometry Divas is an organization that I started approximately 3 years ago here in Orlando. I saw the need to create an opportunity for the women in my community to meet, to get to know each other, to learn from each other, to support each other. Whether they were in private practice, whatever modality that they were in, we needed each other. In this time that we live in our profession, I think we need each other more than ever before. The challenges that we are facing as a profession can't be faced by the individual alone. We have to come together. That's the only way we can make a difference. So the only, I guess the part of the world that I have was here in Orlando. So I started that group. It was under a different name at that time. And in 2018, we rebranded to Optometry Divas. But it's been going on since 2015.
Okay. Are you expanding the membership out nationally then?
Yes, that's the goal. We want to expand it nationally. After doing it for a while, I've gotten emails from some of my colleagues. They say they're so interested. I want to have this meeting in my town. When are you guys coming? So I think they would really love it, and they're excited about it. So we want to make that possible.
What are three things that you advise young women of color who want to become an OD?
Number one, I would say, determine why you want to do that. Whatever it is you want to do in life, you need to really understand your reasons for doing it. Whatever that reason may be, everybody will have a different reason, but really take some time and think about why. Why do I want to do this? And then I would say, once you figure out why you want to do it, I would say start looking for someone who has done it the way you want to do it. Because I believe success leaves clues. So if someone else has already done it really well, I would start talking to them, getting to know them, seeing how I can be of service to them somehow, just so I could be around that person and see how they do things and what the reality of the profession is like. And third, I would say create a plan. Once you know what you want, you know someone who's kind of done it before that will help you with a strategy. put a plan together of what it is that you want to do, where you want to see yourself, the typical SMART plan, but really write something down so you know what you want to do.
Now, is that answer based on experience or is this?
Yes. Yes, I would say don't do it like I did.
Okay, that was what I was going to ask. How did you do it then?
I did it the complete opposite way. I, you know, went it alone, trying to do it all by myself. That was a mistake. I learned a lot, you know, but I would not do it that way because it was the hardest way to do it. I have now since learned that it's better to partner and it's better to learn from other people than to try to do everything on your own. So it was a very challenging journey because of that.
Well, you mentioned having a reason to go into optometry, so on, you know, as your first answer. So what was yours then?
Okay. You remember I said that I met this guy in high school? So after maybe about a year, we've been dating and we're getting to know each other. He was getting ready to get his driver's license. Now, he's been wearing glasses all along. And really prior to that, myself, I had never had an eye exam because I've always had perfect vision. And my parents were of those who believe if it's not broken, don't fix it. So I never complained. They never took me to the eye doctor. And so when my husband went to get his driver's license, he was told his vision was not good enough to pass the test. He had to go see an eye doctor. And when he went to see the optometrist, after many, many, many testing, it was discovered that he had a congenital condition that makes him legally blind. And he would never be able to drive because of that. It's hard to imagine that he was living up until this point and really nobody knew, but that was the reality of the situation. So I had a real big decision to make because I was really starting to like this guy. And now this really scary news, you know, came through and I had to decide, what do I want to do? But it kind of made me interested and sparked my curiosity about the value and the benefits of vision. I had taken it for granted that I could see 20/15 at that time every day, and I never realized that there were people who couldn't, and that there were people glasses couldn't help, or there were people who weren't just blind with a cane, but they were in between somehow. I never knew that, and that really sparked my curiosity, and that's what led me to go into optometry school.
What's something about optometry you'd like to change? We've got plenty of time. So.
If there was one thing I would like to change in optometry, it would be inspiring optometrists to believe in their value as a professional. That would be my fundamental thing I'd want to change, because a lot of the other things that that are associated with that really comes from that rooted belief, in my opinion. If there was something I could change, I would help other optometrists realize how important they are, what a difference we make, and what our experience and our training has to offer and the value of that, and not to accept anything that does not demonstrate that value. That's what I would do.
Okay. What's your guilty pleasure food?
My guilty pleasure food? I like chocolate. I like cheesecake. Chocolate cheesecake is probably my guilty pleasure food. I'm not supposed to have that at all. But once in a while, you got to splurge a little, right? What's life if you don't splurge a little? Well, you know how some people live dangerously by flying off an airplane or bungee jumping or roller coaster rides. I do that by eating chocolate. That's my danger. That's how I live dangerously.
Do you have any regrets?
I don't. And I'll tell you why. I believe every experience I've had has brought me here to this place where I'm at and helped me to grow and become the person that I am. And I love and respect that person. Are there things that I would do differently? Perhaps. But it is my philosophy that you can't undo things you did before. So there's really no point in regretting it. I would advise other people not to do it that particular way, but I don't regret the mistakes, bad decisions. I think they've all brought me here to have this conversation with you.
They're all lessons. We learn by screwing
They
up.
all sense. They all sense.
Last question. We inflict this one on everybody.
Oh boy.
Oh, yeah. What's the craziest thing you have ever done?
Oh, the craziest thing. Oh my God. Okay, let's think of something that's not too embarrassing.
Ah!
The craziest thing I've ever done is, let's see, curse out a person who came to my house and rang my doorbell to offer me some type of a magazine or something like that. And I was pretty much, I guess I was in a bad mood that day, and I'm typically not that kind of a person, but I walked outside and just totally let them have it in front of the entire neighborhood. It was terrible, but I use every profanity in the book
What
because
time of day was it that would precipitate that kind of reaction?
you know what? I had just had a baby and hadn't slept very much, and I think it was 11 o'clock and during the day. But when you are a new mom, 11 o'clock is like 3 o'clock in the morning. I
Right.
was just, what do you want? Yeah, I'm usually pretty, what's the word? Diplomatic in how I handle situations, but that day I was not diplomatic at all. So showed me I can go there if I need to.
Wow. Okay. I'm intimidated.
Yes. I grew up in a very rough neighborhood, and you kind of I realized that part is in me somewhere.
Did you lapse into a Jersey accent?
I lapsed into the Jersey girl from Newark in a very nice upper class neighborhood in Florida. Yeah. It was bad. A couple of my neighbors saw me. I told them I was just drunk. That's what I told them.
Loretta, great. Thanks for talking with me this morning.
Thank you so much, Vernon. I really enjoyed our conversation. I had fun.